Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And look who's come in now at the barrel of the pistol with Penix. Algier with Robinson flanked out to the left. Bijan in motion here to the near side. Going to hand it to Algier. Here goes Tyler. Bang! 10, 5, and it lands on the board!
Drop touchdown! The hammer, big boy.
He banged away at a man at the 15 and then just dropped the hammer into four-wheel drive.
He looked like he went and found him, Wes.
Golly, Pete.
So many highlights from last night's Falcons game. We are the morning shift on a Victory Tuesday on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Falcons won 24-14. We're all over it today. Just got a few headlines for you before you get into work. The Hawks beat the Heat last night, 119-118 in the preseason. Dodgers beat the Brewers in Milwaukee 2-1 for the first game of the NLCS. Game 2 of the ALCS, not quite as close. Mariners beat the Blue Jays 10-3. Game 3 is tomorrow in Seattle. The Bears beat the Commanders by a field goal 25-54 last night. And, of course, the win we're celebrating all day long. Falcons 24-14 took down Buffalo at home last night, putting them at 3-2 for the season.
Yeah, it's just an unbelievable feeling coming off that win last night. And obviously, if you were in the house and you're up early this morning listening, it was such a cool environment with that roof open. I think that was one of my biggest takeaways. But I obviously do the Finley Roofing weather report every week, and it's like, oh, well, the roof's closed.
Right.
I was telling Bowhead in there, I was like, if they don't open the roof tonight, there's just no reason to have a freaking roof that opens. The weather was so good yesterday, and the environment was really cool because of it.
I think that there is I think that basically if it's under 82 degrees and over like 65 or something, it's going to be open. There's a slight window. It's a small window for such an expensive roof, but you know, I got to see the Rolling Stones with a window with the roof open.
So there you go.
At least there's that. Yeah. It's I love it when it's open, man. It's cool. I looked down and there was a gnat or like a fly or something flying around. I was like, oh yeah, the roof's open. And I looked down and I was like, hey, Scott.
There's probably something in the building. But
I've never seen one.
I get what you're saying.
Never happens unless the reset.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it looked so good on TV. I think it truly like showcased the beauty of Atlanta last night on a national stage. And Dave Archer, who we will talk to at 8:20 today, he actually went back and talked with Raheem Morris after the game last night about Bijan's performance. Let's hear that.
I've said it numerous amounts of time, but he's the best player in football. We revolve around seven. Everything goes around seven. And it's the selfless acts that within seven that makes us the best that we can possibly be. And he does that every single week.
Golly. He ain't lying.
He's a special human being, not just a player. And I say that because I've gotten a lot of time around him. And dude is different, okay? He just is. He's special. And his teammates feed off of that. You hear he was over there interviewing Drake London last night. Grabbed the microphone from one of the Falcons digital media people and was interviewing him about being. He asked him the same question I asked him at training camp. I think was it this year or last year? Where, hey man, I feel like you're kind of underrated. You kind of go under the radar. He asked him that, and I was like, yeah, Bijan. All right, Bijan. I see where you're stealing from me. Yeah. But everybody, you know, Bijan scores 81-yard touchdown. Who's the first person he talked to on the bench after the celebration? Everything, Casey Washington, and then went down the line with the receivers and offensive linemen. He's a leader, guys. He's a special. You've got special guys Drake London, Michael Penix, and Bijan Robinson are all special human beings. Their characteristics as players, but as leaders as well, and how they treat their teammates and how they lead by example and vocal to an extent. I'm going to tell you something. The guy on offense I'd like to fight the least right now with Caleb McGarry off the field is Drake London, because he will go right to you. He got in a skirmish last night.
Yeah,
guy, he ain't scared.
He's not. Two comments on what you just said. First and foremost, and you heard Raheem just talk about it right there, that he, you know, Bijan Robinson, he plays with an edge, with an attitude. One of my favorite plays he had last night, he throws a shoulder into the ribs of Ed Oliver on a twist stunt, and freaking de-cleats Ed Oliver. And it hurt. You could tell it hurt. I love seeing that out of a running back and a guy that prides himself on making people miss, that he was on purpose running into people. You just don't see it very much. And the other thing is, the person I wouldn't want to fight right now is Matthew Bergeron. The dude is playing at such a freaking high level as a left guard. And I said it last night on the pregame, he's having a better year right now than Chris Lindstrom. And you saw multiple runs come right off of his shoulder pads last night. He's been exceptional.
And Bergeron talked to us last night. And normally, after a game like that, we're talking to Bijan Robinson, right, or Drake. But after the Carolina game, we needed a veteran to talk to. And we went to Jake Matthews, offensive lineman. Guy's been here, 14 years or something, 11 years, 12 years. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. 180-something straight starts. Well, they bludgeoned him last night in the run game at times.
Yeah.
So we went and talked to an offensive lineman in Bergeron.
There you go.
And he talked about how special Bijan was. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I do need to see Penix grow. And I think it's great that we can grow after a loss. But he got locked in on Drake a little bit last night. And he put a ball in harm's way a couple of times by being locked in on Drake. I don't know if that's with Mooney being out, you know, different guys in there, kind of chemistry. He's got less chemistry with Sills in there, who played a lot last night.
He did.
As Arch told us on pregame he would. So, need a little bit more there. But, I mean, who cares? Because you dominated, and your defense dominated, and you made an MVP look average last night.
Yeah, I think you have to care to an extent, because you do have a short week. You are going to the West Coast. You are playing the Niners. I think the good thing is, you were there when he talked to Arch last night. When Michael Penix was talking to him, he mentioned that. He was like, I got to be better. You know, I got to be better with my progressions. I got to be better with certain things. There were a couple of balls that could have easily gone the other way that we kind of got away with at certain points of the game. But, you know, credit, we made those plays. They didn't. Michael Penix is – he did get locked in and Drake just a little bit last night. There's no doubt about that.
But, of course, we are going to lean into the celebration today. And all the good things that happened last night. Yep. Like, we've got DeAndre from Decatur on the phone wanting to celebrate alongside with us. The phone lines are open today, 404-726-0929. What's going on, DeAndre?
Hey, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
What's up, man? Living the dream.
Man, you know, it's Mike's Mafia in the building.
Oh, man.
Light the fires, baby.
We're going to set the tone, right? We're going to set the tone. Oh, man. It's like we prayed for this kind of defense, Mike, and we finally have it. And it's like the city is happy, man. I ran into old James Pierce at the barbershop, and I kind of gave him a piece of my mind after the Carolina loss. And he looked at me and he said, man, y'all just be patient. And that really, after last night, I get it now. I get it. We had to have a little patience. But I had a question for you guys. After this win, what else do we have to do, like, for them to take us as, like, serious this year?
Yeah, good question. Appreciate the phone call. I have my thoughts. Go ahead, though, Bo.
Well, I wanted to hear what you said, but I was going to say go do it again on Sunday night in Santa Clara.
My thoughts the same. It's consistency. You have to establish a level of consistency. We can't have a game up, game down, mediocre, up, down, mediocre. You can't do that. Like the best teams in the NFL, if you want to be taken seriously. Now, you go out and get a 30,000-foot view, I think there's a question as to who is the best team in the NFL right now. I mean, it was the Bills. You know, the same teams that we talk about being the best teams. I mean, the Chiefs are always going to be around with Patrick Mahomes. But right now, the Ravens are not good. There's a number of questions about all the usual suspects. We thought maybe the Chargers would take a step forward. They've looked bad. So I don't know what to make of any of these squads right now.
You can make an argument that Tampa Bay, they're as complete as anybody, and they're not even playing healthy. I mean, you know, that – and they haven't – I mean, you look – honestly – They have an MVP guy right now in Baker. Baker's playing like MVP. I think Bijan Robinson is an MVP. I mean, he did something last night. He's the first guy since Thurman Thomas in 91 that has over 450 yards rushing and 300 yards receiving in the first five games. You know what Thurman Thomas was in 1991? MVP.
The MVP, I'm guessing. I was going to say a Buffalo Bill.
He was a Buffalo Bill. He's also a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I think you got to go back it up again. Look, don't think it won't be tough. Don't think next week's not going to be tough. I don't care who's playing quarterback, and I don't care who they don't have on defense. They know you, and you know them.
Yeah.
Okay? You're running similar systems on offense and similar systems on defense, and all these guys know each other.
Yeah.
All of them.
And if there's one thing last night I think proved in a lot of different ways, how many times have we used the term rest deficit? I know it's a little bit overplayed. It's kind of something that people use in gambling circles and things like that. But teams on rest deficits, it's a struggle. So you got to go prove that you can win on a rest deficit next week out in San Francisco when you do have to travel across the country. Don't forget, and Bo knows this better than anybody, the travel schedule you have coming up in the next month is brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the matchups. I mean, we looked at that Germany game and thought, oh, the Colts,
we thought back-to-back stretch. We're like, well, it's travel, but the two teams aren't very good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now they're both
like, the Colts might be one of the, like we just talked about, they might be the best team in the NFL.
Well, technically they are in the AFC. They're the number one seed if it ended today.
Crazy.
And the New England is the four seed, leaders of the AFC East right now.
Yes, they are. 4-2.
So it's a really valid point, but you got to – honestly, I need to see them win. I need to see them roll all four in a row because beat San Francisco, then come back home and beat a Miami team that you think is beatable, and then you got a tough stretch. But this is not an easy game in San Francisco either because you might be missing Jake Matthews. We don't know his status. He left that game.
We got to talk about that.
You got it right. You got to be consistent, put games together, beat teams when you should beat them.
Can we also not gloss over the fact that DeAndre told us he went up to James Pierce and gave him the business?
I want to know how big DeAndre is.
I do too.
Bro, you know it's crazy.
Because he looks like me or he looks like Mike. There's no average height there.
It's frustrating. And I love that this happened, but man, I remember I had a yard guy come cut my grass after we lost the NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
He made a comment. Man, I almost punched him in the face. I was like, dude, I will knock you out if you ever say anything like that to me again in my front yard. And then I cut off his services like 3 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Well, this Saturday from noon until 2, you can join me, Allie Mack, out at Jim Shorkey Kia of Gainesville as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit. It's a 50-inch 4K smart TV with rolling stand. Other prizes come with it. And another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. It's this Saturday, noon to 2, at Jim Shorkey Kia of Gainesville. Coming up, Bears had a last-minute win. We'll get into it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Robinson, the running back. Here's London moving out on the wide side. They take the snap. Here's Penix. Michael looks, rips it. London stretches the ball across. That's a touchdown for Atlanta.
My goodness, what a play by London.
What a catch. And then the presence of mind to reach that joker right over the white line.
That was an insane play right there. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. Yes, massive win in Atlanta last night. We are living in it all morning long, 24-14 over Buffalo. Get on Twitter. Let us know how you're feeling about it, like Lawrence did. He tweeted us. He said he was up late last night due to his excitement after the Falcons win, watching game highlights. He got up early, getting the kids ready for pre-K. And he woke up with limited sleep, but he's feeling refreshed. Like, he got full hours because of his excitement.
Yeah, I feel the vibes on that.
That's the way I feel, too. Hey, I just got a tweet from Spencer, who said, hey, last week, I gave you a shout. He goes, last week you said you wanted to do Charlie Warner, do the quarterback sneak or take a handoff. He's like, well, last night I did it. Well, it wasn't actually Charlie. It was Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
But they took Felipe in motion alley, and he runs under center. There's the quarterback sneak, former quarterback, and just leans forward. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah.
Like, is that creative? And now Spencer's not saying this, but is that creative enough for some people? Because I love it. And I think it came from the Squidbilly playbook.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about and I think the way that I think we talked about this a little while ago, where we were talking about I need Michael Penix to get a carry to get, you know, a read option in the red zone. And we mentioned, I was like, you know, look, I don't know, maybe it's a situation where you bring Felipe Franks in. It was almost off the cuff, but I thought about that last night because I was like, we definitely have mentioned the fact that Felipe has played quarterback, and I would love to see him get at least a touch in the run game in the red zone and be able to do that. He's such an athletic guy, and he knows how to handle snaps in the shotgun and under center.
Yeah.
And they used him again last night. Shout out to Zach Robinson, the hard count that ices the game right there at the end and draws Buffalo off sides.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, that was. You forget about that. That was probably when he went under center. The guy signed off the practice squad, probably might be, well, not signed, but elevated. He might not be elevated next week.
Yeah, that's
tough for that guy. I felt bad for him, but then again.
Who was it that was a scratch? It was a, somebody was a scratch right before the game.
Daquan Jones.
Yeah, Daquan Jones was scratched right before the game. I was sitting next to Joe Patrick in the booth, and we were kind of just chatting, and then I kind of heard in the back of my brain, I was like, did they just say 92's out?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
A calf, I guess, in warm-ups.
Crazy.
Man, it's been a rough week for guys in warm-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts had a guy go on the IR because of a warm-up issue with Anthony Richardson Sr., I guess they have. I don't know we're going to get to huddle, but the sequence right there at the end of the first half where we get the ball back and you get it and it's a yellow light and some people are kind of, we should have had more urgency. I think it should be said that you're playing defense while you're playing offense with a guy like Josh Allen. And I actually love the way they handled that situation because the main thing you wanted to do is if you couldn't get a first down, you didn't want to leave a bunch of time on the clock because they can strike quickly because they'll spread you out and then Allen's going to take off. And we saw where that last drive of the game that they had, he ran for, I think, 15, 20 yards in that one. So I personally, I don't know about you, Mike, but I thought that was as well as you could do it because you don't do that thinking like, well, Josh Allen's going to throw his interception at the 50-yard line.
Right.
Okay? So you did everything to secure because you knew they get the ball back. They get the ball to start second half. So what you don't want to do is not get a first down, give them the ball back with over a minute left on the clock, and they can go double dip. And now the game's completely different, and the momentum is different because they stopped you and scored going into halftime and get the ball back.
Yeah, I think, and we talked about it a number of times, and Dave Archer did a nice job of kind of mentioning this throughout the week, that these were the two top teams in the NFL in terms of time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the game within the game, was playing keep away and making sure that Josh Allen did not have his hands on the football or had his hands on the football as few a times as possible, and you did win the time of possession battle with the Atlanta Falcons last night. 31 minutes, 39 seconds compared to 28 minutes, 21 seconds for the Bills. It was a massive part of what we were able to do last night.
Well, and if you have thoughts on the game, if you want to celebrate alongside with us, tweet us at 929MorningShift. We'll get to some of those on air. You do that while we go in the huddle. So the Tennessee Titans have fired their head coach, Brian Callahan. They are 1-5 so far this season.
It's just brutal. But I don't know. We talked about this in the pregame show a little bit last night on the network. Bo was kind of wondering, hey, where does this leave his dad, Bill? His dad, Bill, walked out the door with him. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
but
his dad,
I
Bill,
figured.
Walked out the door with him. Not only that, but it looks like they're going to give the interim, Mike McCoy, they're going to give him a chance to actually keep this job. And they went straight out and said that he's going to have every opportunity. You remember he was, I don't know, probably 10 years ago, a head coach for the Chargers. So he has that background. He is an offensive guy, but it looks like they're going to give him every opportunity to actually be the head coach. But just Brutal. Just brutal stuff going up in Nashville right now.
I can't remember who tweeted it, but I think it was one of the NFL, Schefter Rapoport, something like that, and the turnover they've had in that building. They're on their, like, third GM in 5 years. Hmm. They fired Robinson, then they hired Ram Carthen. They fired Ram Carthen. They hired whatever his name is now. You know, obviously Vrabel was there, and then he's gone, and you have Callahan, and now he's gone, and oh, by the way,
ding,
Vrabel and the Patriots are your next opponent.
That's good.
So it's just it's rough, and you, whatever you do, the goal now is to, I think it's smart because you want McCoy to do everything he can to get the job. Not that he wouldn't anyways, but also, you know, bring along the young quarterback.
Yeah, I think it develops some continuity if they're able to rally around him and get some different ideas in that building. So we'll see.
Well, I know we were busy with a different Monday night football game, but the Chicago Bears did beat the Commanders by a field goal 25-24 last night.
Can we just talk for 1 second about this quarterback class?
Let's do it.
It's crazy to me because I'm watching Caleb Williams walk off the field. He beats Jaden Daniels. And obviously, you know, that Washington team has had its ups and downs. We just saw them a couple of weeks ago. But Jaden Daniels has been fine. You know, I don't think he played a perfect game by any means last night. And his fumble really is what cost them. With 3 minutes left, they put the ball on the ground in a monsoon. But you look at those two guys. We just talked about New England and Drake May. Michael Penix really in front of the NFL world last night, beating the reigning MVP. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. But these quarterbacks from this draft class right now, and throw Bo Nix into that as well, it's just crazy. The only one not living up to the hype, and for injury reasons, and this really is his rookie season, is J.J. McCarthy. It's just insane to look at the output that these guys had when you look at all those first-round draft picks that were in that class. They are living up to expectations.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, we were talking about how Ben Johnson maybe was too hard of a coach and was, you know, too hostile and too rude and all this kind of stuff. And now they're 3-2. They've won three straight. Caleb Williams is growing up in front of our eyes because I've been pretty harsh on him. But the post-game press conference that he had, hey, you know, you guys are winning games. I mean, we're just taking it at a time. We're just trying to go out there and do everything during the week.
I didn't see that.
It was really good. I was like, I'm sitting there and I'm on my air mattress trying to go to sleep. And I go, damn, is that Caleb Williams talking?
What? Roller? What?
That's pretty.
Somebody turn the lights on.
I don't remember him talking about this, but you're right. I mean, in Washington, let's not. You said the troubles they've had. They've had some injuries. Last weekend, they went to L.A. and beat the Chargers, I mean, like a drum.
Yeah.
And Chargers are 4-2. They obviously, everybody's injured. So I say they got injuries. The entire freaking league has injuries. That's what the league is. But that's a huge win for Chicago on the road. Agreed. With a young, talented team. It was one of the teams that I thought that could get into the playoffs this year and be one of, you know, the first time playoff teams. Second, I did that drill.
Yeah. There
for
you
the
go.
Season.
Chicago also was operating on a rest advantage. So there you go.
We're not going to be operating on one Sunday.
I know.
Not. The Eagles, Za'Darius Smith has announced he is retiring. Dylan, you okay?
Wait, Dylan, your thoughts? No, just kidding.
this is a shock, by the way, Dylan, right?
Ding.
It is Eagles a shock. Fan base, guys like you?
Yeah, well, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Falcons fan, despite right, false narratives.
Let's talk about Smith.
So Simone texted me in all caps and was like, he just retired. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what maybe a little controversy weird in Eagles land does for a guy.
30 seconds or less, because I'm asking you because you're in
Eagles
a relationship
adjacent
with one of the
Eagles
biggest
adjacent
Eagles fans I know.
Yes.
Is there worry in that fan base about that locker room?
Yes. And anytime A.J. Brown does anything, it is put under a microscope.
Here's my thing. I know we got to go to break. Sirianni might be a good coach, but I wonder how he is as a leader in the locker room, because remember after the Super Bowl year, their first Super Bowl appearance that they lost?
Yeah, they were 10-0.
And then they turned into a blank show, and the locker room was a debacle. So I wonder how that
– feels a lot like that.
Everything's great when they're winning.
Right.
How is it when you lose?
To be continued. Well, coming up, the Falcons Victory Tuesday continues with us. We've talked about Bijan, but Drake had quite a night as well. We got to get into that, and we've got him mic'd up.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Ray McLeod and the situation around him just a little bit. Also, I've got three things on my notebook right in front of me that you might not have noticed last night. Some of the stuff in the weeds with the Atlanta Falcons, you do not want to miss that, I promise.
It's next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Allen and the Bills. Now we'll have Anderson, the center. 23rd career game for Alec Anderson. He'll snap it to Allen. Now here's the pressure and the sack. Oh, my goodness. Josh Allen turned around, and there were three bad men in black shirts, Arch. D. Alford was there. My goodness, Diablo was there. Row
again. Moving on the field as the quarterback's forward progress was stopped.
It is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan at 7:43. Dylan, I'm so glad you have so many highlights to choose from today. It's just endless.
You and me both, Allie.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh, but you always have the movie references. All I could think when Wes, and you and I were just talking about how Wes is the best in the business, but Wes just talking about Arch and then continuing to talk, it reminded me of John Candy in Rookie of the Year where he's like, wrong again, Ernie. he keeps asking Ernie questions and just keeps talking. It's so good, man. It's just, that black shirts, Arch. And it just keeps going, baby. I love it, man. It's so good.
Wes,
wrong again,
Ernie. Wes had a couple last night where Arch had a couple too. Like I laugh a lot, and you probably hear me laugh a lot in the booth because I can't help it. How about that real quick though? From Ulbrich, where they're starting center Connor McGovern goes out for a play.
Yeah,
and you run a twist.
It's just diabolical, man.
And with Diablo and I think it was. It might have been Rook and or Harrison one.
I talked about last week about Mark Stoops doing this for Kentucky when Georgia's left guard goes out for a play. He had to come out. He had like an elbow injury, and they put the backup left guard in, and you just know it's coming. It's like, dude, this is not fair. Do not do that to that guy, man. First play in the game, and you run a twist stunt in his face. It's no good, man. That's good stuff.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, come on, baby. Hey, step into this thing.
This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. If you haven't caught on yet, the Falcons beat the Bills last night, 24-14. It was a massive game for Bijan. We've talked about him, but we got to spend some time on Drake London as well. He had 10 catches for 158 yards and a touchdown that I don't know how was possible, but he stretched his arms out. Over the field, over the end zone, and it was just insane. It looked like a cartoon to me. He just stretched out like
that's
that.
That's a good call.
Yeah, Allie. He not only does he snack. First off, the throw is absolutely just fastballed in there, rifled in there, and he goes with his hands instead of letting the ball get to him, and he snags it. I mean, just wham! Just his hand. I mean, I don't know. I didn't pop the football with the speed it came and how hard He snatches it, and the where it all to be being pulled backwards by a guy, and to use his length of his arm and palm the ball and hold it over, and he holds it over, and he holds it, and he holds it, and Taylor Rapp is coming in, Mike, and he gets with an eyelash of his helmet and wink, and yep. Just takes it back, and the referee, good on the ref for seeing it on the field.
Yeah. I watched the TV copy this morning when I woke up on the air mattress, turned on the TV copy, and Dan Orlovsky does a nice job of kind of breaking this play down and talking about Kyle Pitts drawing the safety in towards the middle of the field, kind of runs, you know, right there across the goal line and kind of turns around. And Penix puts his eyes on Pitts, sees the safety, sees the coverage, and fits it. Like, I mean, this defender is hugged on Drake, and Dan Orlovsky does a nice job of highlighting the fact that Michael Penix throws this to Drake's left shoulder. He throws it to his right shoulder. It's probably not a touchdown. It's probably broken up. But Drake, with the length of his arms and being able to box guys out with his basketball background, throws it to his left shoulder, and just an incredible play.
Yeah, because he's on the outside and he threw it to the inside. That's the recognition that Penix is, that he should get credit for. That's more of a veteran-type throw at times.
Yeah. I would just like to say I love the fact that I have two successful Drakes in my life.
Yeah. Wow.
He had to. You turned your mic on for that?
He had to. Actually, let's hear from Michael Penix talking with Dave Archer last night after the game about Drake London.
Yeah, for sure. He's a big body receiver. You know, I saw that I had man coverage going through my progressions, and I saw him. He had the defense back on his outside shoulder, so I just put it on his inside shoulder and let him play bully ball, and that's all it was.
Bully ball. I love it, man. And you hear him talking about the same thing that Orlovsky was talking about in the broadcast. It was just a beautiful play, and one of those things that I don't think a lot of people realize is kind of the intricate details, which shoulder you're throwing to, but Penix does a pretty good job of that. I think you and I both, Bo, had problems at times with some of the throws that he made over the middle into traffic, getting locked on Drake.
Especially late.
Yes, in situations where you didn't need to. You know what I mean? When you're driving down that last drive that started with 6.5 minutes to go and you take it underneath the 2-minute warning, it's like we don't have to fit that ball in there. And I think Drake ended up with 16 targets, if I'm not mistaken, a massive, massive target share when you look at Drake London and the routes ran. I think it was like, and I have to look back at the stats, I think he was targeted on 50% of the routes he ran, which is insane when you go into really in-depth of passing games and break it down. If you're running, you know, I guess that would have been 32 routes. If you're running 32 routes and you're targeted on half of them, that is a crazy target share for Drake. I don't think that's something that will be sustainable for this offense moving forward.
Before we get too mic'd up and what maybe you didn't notice, what was going on with Ray Ray?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think we know the answer to it.
He was inactive, and he was inactive because the head coach made that decision. And I have no inside information on this. I reached out to a person on the team, and I was like, that's interesting. And they said, well, Jack Nelson's a healthy scratch too. And I was like, they're not the same.
No, it's not the same.
They're not the same.
One's a rookie that's never played before. The other one had 500 receiving yards last year and played every game.
Yeah. I can tell you, though, if you want to – and Mike, chime in. Feel free to interrupt me at any point.
Okay.
But if you pay attention to what's happened, Ray-Ray McCloud has not played well all season. He's dropped passes. He's looked less than average in the blocking – in blocking downfield. You fire your wide receiver coach, and then the next game you throw him a pass immediately, the second play of the game, and he drops it. And then he gets blown up in another blocking opportunity, and you go through a bye, and then suddenly he's a healthy scratch when you're missing your number two receiver. Let me say something. That's not I don't know. If that's not a disciplinary thing, then I would be shocked, because I'm not sure what coach benches his third wide receiver when his second wide receiver is injured and not playing on a Monday night game against the reigning MVP, where points are at a premium.
And you know what's crazy about it? If you go back to the Carolina game, and really maybe even before that, when I can't remember what game it was where Ray-Ray runs the pattern towards the pylon of the end zone and Michael Penix misses him. And Dave Archer talked about it a little bit on the broadcast. He's like, I don't know if Ray-Ray's late getting out of his break or the timing's just off.
Lazy
or
route.
Something's where. Right. And I think that carried over in a big way into the Carolina game. And like I said earlier, you have to give – if we're going to ride Raheem Morris about some of the decisions he makes – we have to give him credit on trying to turn this wide receiver room around and saying it's not good enough. They let go of Ike Hilliard. They obviously healthy scratch on Ray-Ray McCloud. And we raved all training camp about Casey Washington and the effort he was put in, during training camp in Darnell Mooney's absence, how hard he works. Put the guy out to bat, and that's what happened last night. He was on the field right next to Drake London for a lot of these snaps, alongside Kyle Pitts, Charlie Warner, Bijan. and the way they went about their business. So I thought it was great, man. I really did. I love seeing KSU Washington and the hard work pay off. And the message is simple. Ray Ray's got to come out and perform, or he's not going to be part of this offense.
Well, quick reminder that you can join the Morning Shift every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan, to my left, will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the Morning Shift. It's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I got three big things that I took away last night that you might not have noticed that the Atlanta Falcons did, both offensively and defensively. Before I get there, I want to remind you, this Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. I want to start with the interception, the D. Alford interception. Bo, if I asked you who got the pressure on that play, do you know who got the pressure? It all night, there were people flying from all different angles, but I thought this one was especially good considering the fact that Josh Allen forced this ball into coverage and D. Alford intercepted it.
I'm gonna say that I don't know off the top of my head. I might guess maybe maybe Zach Harrison or somebody, but I know Zach Harrison got the tip on the D'Angelo Malone interception. But
you would be close, and I think that Zach Harrison does in a lot of different ways deserve his flowers.
Oh, I know who it was.
It was Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker fights off the block. I thought that, you know, for all the questions we have about all these rookies, mm-hmm. but and it's really not, they're not questions, not coming from us, but people ask where the rookies are after the loss. It's like, where are the rookies? Where are the rookies? Jalen Walker had a good game last night. Jalen Walker was all over the place. And not only that, played really nicely on special teams.
Oh, yeah. He lit him up. What was his name? Codrington up. Real quick, Jalen Walker also makes the play where you flush him out on the big third down right around the 50-yard line,
yep.
And A.J. flushes him out. But Jalen Walker comes from coverage, basically. He's right there playing like a little – almost like in a zone right there. And he closes Mike, and yep. Josh Allen has to get rid of it because he realizes he's not going to beat him to the chain. He tries to float it over, and the ball kind of gets – hangs up at Xavier Watts and the receiver swat the ball away.
Yeah. I want to make sure I highlight a couple of things offensively now because I don't think a lot of people out there realize. Now, you and I have talked about Charlie Warner being back in the shotgun set. It's like, you know, are people not keying in this, right? Are people not seeing Charlie Warner knowing you're not running the football? Well, it turns out the set that they did kind of put in Bijan Robinson a couple of different times on this opening drive. He runs in that speed motion. They fake the handoff the first time. They're able to, throw a pass play to Drake London. Then they do hand it off Bijan Robinson on that one. And then, right there at the end of that first drive, what do? Charlie Warner comes out. They put Tyler Allgeier in. They run the same speed sweep motion with Bijan Robinson, but they hand the ball to Tyler Allgeier. And what does he do? Goes straight to the end zone, trucks somebody on the way. It's just one of those small details offensively that I think people glaze over. But Zach Robinson, nice job on that opening drive. I thought that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and we talked about it in the pregame. I feel like Tyler Allgeier at times when he gets in open field, he starts looking for guy. Who's my guy? Oh, there you are.
There you are.
Yeah. And he did. He's going towards. He could make a straight line to the end zone and have. I think it was Taylor Rapp kind of tum and try to tackle him from a side angle and maybe stiff arm him and walk in and fall forward into the end zone. Instead, he runs out of his way to hit him. And then continues to the end zone.
Yeah, I want to make sure I point this next one out, though. This is the last one I got. All right, because we have made mention of this a dozen times over the last few weeks. And the predictability. And I say predictability for Zach Robinson and his play calling. What have we said about Charlie Warner? Follow Charlie Warner and you'll find the football. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what, guys? You go back and look at the 80-yarder from Bijan Robinson. Charlie Warner goes in motion. He goes left. Bijan Robinson's handoff goes right. There are no defenders after Bijan Robinson breaks the tackle and he goes 80 yards to the house. Just one of those small details. We have talked so many times about following Charlie Warner. He's going to take you to the football. I know that Buffalo had that in the back of their mind as well, except this time they followed Charlie Warner away from the play. Bijan, house call.
That play was blocked excellently by everyone, but I give Lindstrom, Bergeron, and Casey Washington such credit because they each had a block that sealed that to break him on the outside.
Yeah, it's just so well done by Zach Robinson. And I thought the game plan was excellent going in last night.
Bo, did you notice the twinkle in Mike's eyes? He was describing that last play.
I just can't, guys. Y'all don't know. It's beautiful.
Well, coming up, we've got the wake up call 404-726-0929. Very simple today. Celebrate this Falcons win with us. How are you feeling with the 3-2 Falcons? 404-726-0929. The wake up call is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.